May it please the court. Happy Valentine's Day. My name is Aaron Barrick, and I am the attorney for the plaintiff appellants in this case, Randy Eisen and Cecil and Colleen Wills. Randy and Linda Eisen are present in the courtroom today. I plan to use 8 minutes now and will allot 7 minutes for rebuttal. I will dispense with the statement of the case, except to say and emphasize that the plat and the subdivision were created 40 years ago by Douglas County to create an equestrian subdivision, which remained intact until recently. My clients have been part of that subdivision for 37 years and have used those riding trail easements, which are spread throughout the subdivision, for 37 years and 25 years, respectively. This all started when three other homeowners obstructed the riding trail easements to deny them access. When the association wouldn't enforce the covenants, my clients, the two of them, began enforcement actions so they could gain access to the riding trail easements. This all then blew up because defendants requested that all parties, all homeowners, be joined in the action, and then they tried to usurp Douglas County's authority in the plats to reserve the riding trail easements by imposing an amendment which abandoned all those riding trails.
Mr. Barrick, if I can interrupt you, since you're only going to use 8 minutes, I'm going to jump right in, if that's okay.
Sure.
Why wasn't it proper for the other side to amend the covenants? It said they could be amended in whole or in part. And so, I mean, I understand the argument, and I have questions about the substantiality and foreseeability test that you raise, but why wasn't it proper?
Well, in this case, it's improper for three reasons. The first is the fact that it usurps Douglas County's authority to promote, manage, and regulate land use. In this case, we have a plat that has a drawing. That drawing clearly shows that there are to be riding trails throughout this subdivision. We have a plat note that also emphasizes the fact that there are riding trails. We have a client who relies upon those riding trails when it joins an equestrian community to ride its horses.
But they also, if I can interrupt you, I apologize,
sure.
But you're using limited time, so I'm going to just jump in. I do have some serious questions here. You say your clients relied on it, but your clients signed on to covenants that said the covenants can be amended in whole or in part. So why is it not foreseeable that if they could be amended in whole, that means they could be taken away?
I don't believe they can be are foreseeable because there's such a substantial impact upon them. This is an equestrian community. They're expecting that they're going to be able to use that community in their equestrian nature. When they have a plat that they can rely upon, the plat was never changed. And if this were a situation where the amendment were changed and the plat was changed, we might have a different conclusion, but we don't have that here.
Let me ask you about that, because it is your point you raised concerns me, and I was going to ask your friend here about these questions. There is language in the covenant. Would you agree that a plat is an instrument affecting title to property?
Yes.
All right. There is language in the covenants that says, I'm paraphrasing, all instruments affecting title of any lots are subject to the provisions of the covenants. There was words like that. I agree with you. They probably should have amended the plat while they were amending the covenants, and they didn't. I don't think that's disputed. But why doesn't that language at least bind your clients as a matter of contract law? It says any covenants that say all instruments affecting title of any lots are subject to the provisions of the covenant. So why isn't the amendment to the covenant control of the plat as a matter of contract law?
Well, there's two concepts that are going on here, Your Honor. There's the authority of Douglas County to enforce land use through the plat, which is a statutory, legislative, and quasi-judicial function of Douglas County. And then you have the covenants, which could be contractual, but those are done by a completely different authority. The problem becomes where those conflict. You can read them together as long as they're consistent, but where they conflict, then each of these regulatory bodies, Douglas County, and the association have to find some way to reconcile that difference. And we would argue that the statutory authority of Douglas County would control.
Speaking of statutory authority, doesn't Section 3833.3217 apply here of Kiowa?
It does, Your Honor, but Kiowa's intent is not to usurp again the authority of Douglas County, which clearly has statutory authority over land use.
Hold on just a moment. There's nothing in the section that I just talked about that says anything other says anything about the authority of anyone other than the homeowners association, a majority of the homeowners, to amend the plat and the covenants. The declaration and the covenants are the same thing. Would you agree? The covenants are in the declaration.
Yes, the covenants would be the same thing under that question. But again, okay, we have two instruments that are being looked at here.
I understand that, but I have concerns. Given that the statute applies, why is your test that you're stating is within that Colorado Supreme Court Evergreen case? Why does that even apply? Why isn't the statute the only thing that applies?
Well, the statute obviously conflicts with other statutes giving Douglas County the authority to develop a plat. It also conflicts, in our opinion, with the Evergreen case, which was just decided in 2006 and is after the Kiowa statutes and case law interprets it. I think there's a process for
Was Evergreen applicable to covenants that were subject to the statute?
Yes, I believe it was, Your Honor. We have a situation here where in Evergreen they specifically identify two lines of cases with the Zito and the Lakeland cases. They adopt the Zito cases, but in adopting those cases, they clearly stated that the outcomes in the Lakeland and Zito cases were based on the severity of the consequences in the cases. Where amendments were disallowed, the impact was far more substantial and unforeseeable than the amendments at issue in the Evergreen case. So they clearly are identifying a foreseeability issue they need to look at, as well as an impact upon the subdivision or upon the individual homeowners when they adopted Evergreen.
I understand that your position is that is some sort of a test that we're supposed to apply, given the language in the Supreme Court case. However, in light of the fact that language was discussing why those cases in the other jurisdictions came out the way they were, and that language is not reflected anywhere in the statute, how can the Colorado Supreme Court amend the statute to have that requirement?
I don't think they need to amend the statute. They need to find where it's reconciled. There has to be a checks and balances in this case. If the Homeowners Association can eliminate a property right, such as a riding trail easement that's created by plat, then what would prevent the Homeowners Association from challenging changing or modifying boundary lines, creating or eliminating roads, eliminating parks, eliminating anything within the subdivision? There has to be some type of a standard, and you have to draw a line someplace as to where the association usurps or creates an arbitrary, capricious decisions affecting particular homeowners. And that's why we believe Evergreen's controlling, as well as the plat process. As far back as 2003, this subdivision knew that in order for it to change the riding trails, it had to go through the replat process, which went through Douglas County, which allowed studies, and it had to be a unanimous consent of the homeowners. What the association then did in 2009, 6 years later, was they ignored Douglas County, they ignored the property rights, they ignored the process for going through a replat, and they looked for a way to usurp that authority and get rid of riding trails that were uncomfortable at the time.
Now, you referred to Douglas County statutory authority. What statutes are you referring to?
I'm referring to CRS 30-28-1331 and CRS 30-28-1333.
You're down to almost 6 minutes.
So I believe I'm reserving some for rebuttal, Your Honor.
You reserved 7 and you're down to 6.
Just reminding you.
Yes.
Can I ask, I know you want to reserve it, Mr. Beck, let me ask you one question before I lose it. In Evergreen, when the court was talking about substantiality and foreseeability, it was actually construing the language of the covenant, not the statute. Is that right? I think the issue in Evergreen,
yes,
as I recall it.
Yes, I would believe so, but remember, when it was looking at that language, it was using several different cases through the Zito and Lakeland cases when it came to the decision that there has to be some type of foreseeability and substantiality. I know there's been an issue as to whether that's dicta or not. It can't be dicta because not only do they use that in coming to the holdings of the case, that rationale in those two lines of cases, but at the end it states in finding that they can add a new covenant, it goes one step further and says, in addition, we, and again, it's the entire court, not just a single writer, note that $50 per year, the mandatory assessment imposed on respondents, is neither unreasonable nor burdensome. So they imposed a standard
I understand that, and
if the covenant changes.
Sure, and I apologize. I'm just trying to respect your wanting to reserve rebuttal time. I'm trying to reconcile Judge Terry's concern, which is, I think, is a valid one. I think that in Evergreen, and I want you to correct me, that the court was not construing Kiowa in that case when it used this language about substantiality and foreseeability. I think it was trying to interpret the language of that covenant. Did the covenant let you add a provision when it says whatever the language was? So it wasn't, am I right that Evergreen was not talking about Kiowa?
Well, it wasn't talking about Kiowa, but where it comes into play is do we use a majority vote to usurp the county and usurp the property rights of the minority? And so in Evergreen, we have a situation where they're allowing a 75% vote to go forward. Kiowa allows a 66 2/3% vote to go forward. We're arguing, Your Honor, that regardless of the vote, there are certain powers that an association cannot and should not be allowed to take when it involves property rights and authorities that are conflicting over land use.
Is it a matter of the covenants, the statute, or both? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I believe the statutes control. Also, particularly the statutes that apply to the legislative and quasi-judicial authority of Douglas County, which is authorized to promote, regulate, and monitor land use.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council.